The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah. And today's episode is Bluff, number 18. It features a card game, some vomit, the wonderful line, good luck with the jerky, and some characters named Jesus and Red Bull, a meaningful ashtray, a very delightful comeuppance.
And a very small fender bender where, you know, people are going to exchange insurance information.
Yeah, just sort of walk away.
Yeah, it's just a small dust up.
These things happen.
Right after that bell cue sound, they tend to happen.
Yeah.
It's lower.
Bong.
We also have a very special guest today who does some really beautiful work in this episode and whose work all season is such a big part of why we care about Lincoln and the Burroughs Clan. And kind of the expanding Prison Break family universe at this point.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, Marshall Allman is with us, you guys. And we're really, really excited to talk to him. So we'll get to the index so that we can get to Marshall.
Okay, today's Calistine Index. Bluff was written by Karen Usher and Nick Santora. It was directed by Jace Alexander and first aired on April 17th, 2006. 8.18 million people tuned in to watch at 8 p.m. Competition in the time slot included a rerun of Wife Swap on ABC, a rerun of King of Queens on CBS, and a brand new Deal or No Deal on NBC.
The TVGuide.com recap reads, in the psych ward, Michael must keep Haywire off his meds so he'll be able to replace the missing part of Michael's tattoo. Elsewhere, Seabag and... Seabag. That's their relationship.
Yeah, Seabag and T-Note.
Exactly. T-Bag and C-Note.
Yeah, that's their ship. That's their ship name.
For the ship that never sailed. They team up uneasily to raise money to keep Michael and Sucre's cell in friendly hands. LJ is charged with killing his mother and stepfather, as well as attempting to kill Kellerman. And Kellerman is told by Brinker to lay off Link, which displeases the vice president. And then Nick runs into a man in a trench coat, and he's not happy about it.
Topping the box
Another recap that tells you nothing.
Yes. Topping the box office the week of April 17th, 2006 was Scary Movie 4, featuring cameos by Shaq, Dr. Phil, and the ubiquitous, at this point, Charlie Sheen. Carmen Electra would win the dubious Golden Raspberry Award for her work in that film. On April 18th, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes welcomed their daughter, Suri, into the world. Not to be confused with Siri, who we all carry around in our pockets now.
Nope.
And on April 13th, Barry Bonds was in some trouble for perjury when federal prosecutors pursued a case against him for giving an incomplete answer to a grand jury. He'd later be convicted of one felony stemming from his denials of steroid use back in 2003.
And in global events, on April 14th, six retired generals stated their criticism of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld's leadership, calling for his resignation in connection with treatments of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And on April 16th, a case of mad cow disease was confirmed in British Columbia.
Ooh.
Although Canadian government claimed it never entered either human or animal food chains. And funny fact, I, until recently, was not allowed to donate blood because I may have it.
Because you may have mad cow disease?
That's right. Yes. I lived in
Wales.
Okay,
that explains. So I'm really re-examining.
Don't call me a cow.
Our relationship. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Now that tracks.
Mouth, she chews cud. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I lived in Wales for a little bit when I was 8, which is a beautiful place and I loved it. But because anybody who lived during the UK, during the mad cow outbreak in the 80s, is excluded from being eligible to donate blood until like literally, I'm not joking, this morning my husband was like, I just got back from donating blood and they will now accept blood from you because by now you probably don't have mad cow disease. So moo.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. And with that, here is the compressed highlight reel from our watch party for Bluff.
Michael at the moment is going, I don't like the Whack Shack. By the way, I love the idea that a convicted felon in a maximum security prison is going to complain about a dripping toilet.
I love a high stakes poker game in a movie or TV show. I love it. Talk about it forever.
Feels like you're a little tired of women treating you like you're an idiot. Or of people treating you like you're an idiot. But there's that look you do that's like, yeah, I'm as smart as you are. Thanks. See, this is why you can't give people nice things like Play-Doh.
That's why art programs have been discontinued all over America. I'm being snarky because I feel for him and I'm uncomfortable with human emotion.
And we'll be right back with Marshall Ullman.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Our guest, Mr. Marshall Ullman, spent 23 episodes on Prison Break playing the living shit out of Lincoln Burrows. Nope, LJ Burrows. The original, there's a joke in there I won't make. He went on to play Tommy Mickens in True Blood and since has been all over TV, including Aquarius and Bates Motel and Humans, really doing wonderful work. Marshall, welcome to the show.
Hi, Marshall. Welcome.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for the beautiful intro.
Oh, it's so good to see you, man. Too long.
It's been way too long.
It's been so fun getting to rewatch your work on the show. I mean, you just crush it.
It's so good.
Thank you
so
much. It's so
hard.
Much,
your assignment is hard.
Wow.
We talk about this a lot, that like you have to be at 11 the whole show.
I feel so seen. Thanks, guys.
I mean, it's one of those things at the time you don't think about it. It's like everyone's doing their thing and we're all, you know, Sarah and I always talk about we were kind of on our own little shows. Obviously, Marshall, your show and my show kind of collided.
Same show.
At one point in season one for a little while. But that, like, you know, Lincoln's always trying to keep his shit together. Wentworth's always trying to keep his shit together. And LJ's just losing his mind. Because the stakes are so high, right? His father's about to be executed, and then his mother is gunned down, and then he's accused of the murder. It just, the hits keep coming, man.
Oh yeah, I always refer to it as my private Hamlet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that exactly how it felt? I mean, and you're right. Like it was such a intense thing. So man, thank you. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much, like I had never felt like I was always siloed, you know, yeah, in bits and pieces, mm-hmm, there, mm-hmm, and everybody around me is dying that I care about.
Like honestly, every other person that you do a scene with,
yeah,
ends up dead in six episodes. It's terrifying.
We talked about, and I'm sure you're, obviously you're familiar with this, but we talked about how on one-hour dramas, kind of the hardest assignment in acting is the guest star on a one-hour drama. Because you have all the drama, but you're not a series regular. No one's giving you the time to do it, et cetera. You kind of had a combo platter of that. You were a series regular, but you were always, as we just said, at 11 because of what the story dictated. And you don't ever seem pushing. You don't ever seem... We talked to Jesselyn. We had Jesselyn Gilsing on.
It's so grounded.
Who played your mom.
Yeah, Jesselyn.
And she was talking about what a joy it was to work with you and how... you guys, you had to be, you were pretty young. It must have been an early job for you.
Oh man, it was, oh my gosh. Y'all just bombed me with so many amazing, I can't tell you, like that just brought so much closure to me. Cause I'm always wondered, like, I don't know, I guess I wasn't around my peers on that. So hearing you say that was really, thank you so much. Like, wow. And yes, working with Jesselyn, she was amazing. Like, it was not easy to be sad when she was brutally murdered in front of my face.
Right.
She was incredible. And yeah, it was very early for me. In fact, I booked the job when I was 19 or 20. And then I started acting literally when I was 18. So I had fell ass backwards into acting because I wanted to be a soccer player. That was like my only dream. Soccer and art were my thing.
No way.
Yeah. And so just by circumstances, I got injured really badly and then tried to come back from the injury. This is like when I was 17. And then turns out 10 years later, they did the surgery wrong. And so I had ancillary injury after ancillary injury. And so
Marshall,
at an early age, I had to like, my dream like died in front of me. So I was like, oh, I'll just try this. A friend suggested I go to a talent search thing. So I went and got this amazing response, which I'll tie into Chicago because I had to read a Breakfast Club monologue at a talent search thing. And which John Hughes, I'm like finding out. I have all these connections to like John Hughes basically raised me. But like...
I mean, same.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously we shot in Chicago.
Wait, which monologue? Which character?
So... The Emilio Estevez. Yeah, when he talks about duct taping the butt cheeks. And
I
had seen that movie, like, I mean, I think it was on TNT or TBS, like, every day.
Yeah.
I memorized that movie. Love The Breakfast Club.
There was, like, a channel devoted to it for, like, a while.
100%. So I had it memorized. So I just went in and just knocked it out of the park. And you were supposed to read to all these agents and managers and stuff. And so I had, like, I think I had like 8 agents and managers that wanted to represent me just from this talent search.
Wow.
And I had no idea what that meant. I thought if you ever saw that episode of The Simpsons where Homer had the mark on him, he had like a birthmark shaped like a thing. And so they're like, you're the chosen one. I thought that's how movie stars were made. Like, I was like, oh, Bruce Willis has the birthmark. So that's why Bruce Willis is. I didn't know like you could go become I didn't understand any concept of that. And so, in fact, so I was being revealed to all this and I was like, all right, well, I'm not doing anything else and I don't want to go. I knew I wanted to go be an artist. And so I thought about being poor in New York and being poor in LA looked way more,
I agree.
More
so poor in LA and maybe do this acting thing. This was my logic. I can like work on art and do art and maybe fund it with acting. I mean, obviously I had no business to, because that's not a good business strategy. Like, I know, I'll take a really unlikely industry and I'll fund it with a possibly even unlikelier one.
I have I have a similar business strategy, which is, you know, insanity. But you did make the wise, maybe not business choice, but lifestyle choice.
So wait, so you came...
Graduated high school, 2 weeks later, moved to LA and started taking like acting classes. And then...
So how much technique did you have? How much training did you have before you like...
Good question. So what happened was my first technique was someone said, try to do nothing. And I would watch people practice their audition. This is how raw it was, okay? I would watch people practice their auditions and be like, God, it just doesn't seem real. So I tried the like, don't move and don't do anything technique. And then I got this audition, unlikely chance to get this audition for a movie called Hostage, where I had to actually do real acting. Because look, doing nothing works great when all you need to do is be natural. But then when the circumstances ratchet up and you've got to match it, like you got to have some gas in the tank. You got
to
have something.
You have to do something.
Yes, you have to do something. And so I was like, just by way of natural instinct, the circumstances of this movie Hostage really hit me personally. And so I had a feel for this role, and it was like a gauntlet of auditioning because I was so unproven. I think it took like 2 months for them to finally give me the part. Once I got that, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then the fear sets in of like, I don't know if I can do this job because what am I doing? It was like, what have I gotten myself into?
By the way, I literally still feel that way on every job.
Same.
You get the job, you spend the next 6 weeks going, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I heard Johnny Depp talk about that one time where he's, even though they give him the job, he always takes these big swings with his character. And there's always that moment of him revealing the work he's brought. And he's always like, they're going to fire me. Yeah. And he's like, he has to face that like every movie he does.
Who said that? Thought,
Johnny Depp.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know,
I mean, I've heard Meryl Streep tell that story too, that her husband was always ready about 4 days into shooting of her coming in and saying, I think I'm going to pull out before they fire me.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like, man, hats off. That's so bold, you know? Gosh.
It's great to know.
I know.
Even though it's so hard to go through, it's good to know that other people go through it. It's so, talk about feeling seen.
Yeah. Well, we got to like jump up. Like we have to, I think you can sometimes get complacent in like, oh, you find your niche in what people want to book you in and work in. And then it's really difficult to like, those opportunities that come up that like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to have to really work for this one. I have to feel uncertain. It's not my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And you can easily pass on those opportunities in the name of whatever thing seems to come up to make it impossible to like face that bear in the cave. And it's a good reminder to be like, no, man, we're doing this so we can face the bear in the cave. And
super smart.
So,
oh, sorry. So I digress. I'll get back.
Let me write it in. Your whole podcast is about digressing.
Oh, okay, great. All right, great. And then my ADHD brain will be perfect for this.
Same.
Fantastic.
You can't interrupt the multitasking. So I get this. I finished this job with Hostage, but in the middle of Hostage, I realized like, oh, I now have to bring. I was doing all the like cliche bad actor things like push-ups and, you know, reading old letters. Like I was all the like Lee Strasberg sense memory I could do, like instinctually, like whatever I could do to conjure up.
Hey, if it works, it works, by the way.
Totally, like, totally. Absolutely. No judgment. But like I was literally like doing all the things that you would think you had to do to be emotional. And then I happened to be dating someone at the time who was such a phenomenal actress. She started to like give me tidbits, just enough coaching to where I was like, how? And this person is phenomenally talented. So, I've seen their work. So I was like, where did you learn this magic? And she's like, oh, it's called acting technique. So I immediately after Hostage, I went and started training like hardcore and got my Meisner training. And that person I was dating is my wife, by the way. Reveal.
That's awesome.
Were you married during season one, right?
Yes. So
okay, well we're gonna ask you about that story, but keep going.
Yeah, I mean literally the first season of Prison Break, was so life-changing for me on so many fronts that it's hard to, like, I was so nerve-wracked to come back and talk about it because it was such a, I haven't done a lot of processing in that time in my life, but it was so life-changing.
For what it's worth, I think, I don't think that's just you. You know, as we've been talking to people, I think that's why a lot of the writers felt that way. And, you know, some of our directors were coming on at a point when, like, this was a big pivot point for them. And certainly, even for me coming into this thing, I got a lot of emotions about this show, which is part of why I wanted to get up with Paul and dig into it. Because a lot of it was extraordinary, but it was so intense.
So intense.
And also, we were quite young. You know, like, I came into the business older than you, but I came into the business from grad school at 25 and ended up on this show at 27. And so, like, similarly, trying to figure out, like, here's all the acting technique I learned, and now we're on set, and it's freezing, and we're on location, and the sun's going down, and you've got three takes, and you've done it 25 times already, and nobody cares. Because they need you to do the job in
They don't need to know your action. They don't need to know your action word.
Oh, yeah, exactly. 100%.
Nobody wants your story. Oh, they just want your performance. And I do remember certain days where directors would, like, I'd work with a director and then a couple days later I'd work with them again. And they'd be like, yo, this kid, Marshall. Yeah. Just like, it was interesting. Like, it started to be a conversation with directors. So, like, this kid's a live wire. And he's bringing it. And it was cool because I never saw it. Paul, you did, but I didn't see it until the show aired.
I got to work with you. And it was so fun. And also, look, I will say this. You did not make the mistake a lot of actors that have to be cranked to 11 are. And we did talk about this with Jesselyn too, is that a lot of people, especially when they're young and especially when they're just learning technique and they are coming into a situation that's pressurized like that and asked to have to be very emotional scene after scene after scene, is they kind of, you know, the live wire thing can be like, this person is, they won't come out of their trailer. They broke down after the scene. They don't play well with others. They started screaming at the costumer. Yeah. And because there's a lot of pressure and people are like, I need to be so good that the pressure's so high to perform at the drop of a hat with things that are so emotional that it can kind of drive people to bad behavior sometimes. I'm not excusing that bad behavior, but it takes a lot of people, I think, time to learn not to do that. You never did that.
Oh, wow.
And that is such a combo of wonderfulness because, the audience can't tell the difference, but boy, the process tells the difference in the people. Remember the situation, remember it. Like, being able to deliver that without, you know,
being a dick about it?
Yeah, being a dick about it.
Okay, I just want to back up for a second. Wasn't there a thing in an elevator? I remember an elevator story.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, was it a dick? Okay, we can edit
this
out.
No, there was one circumstance where, no names, no situation, very early on, I was getting told in my ear by the director to give more impetus in the scene. And it was a physical scene. And so I would, like, every take they were telling me, you got to do more to get that person. And I would have never done what happened in that scene, but I was being pushed and I didn't have any idea. So,
right.
People who are listening will know who this is and will know what I'm talking about. And so if they're there, hey, you took it amazing. And I would never do that today. But let me address this. First off, thank you. Like, I can't even tell you what you guys are saying to me right now means so much to me because I was so consumed with the wave of the popularity of the show and the pressure of my circumstance. So it was to hear what you said is really, really enjoyable because I had no concept of what other people thought of me.
And I get that. I mean, that pressure, all of those things at once, like, not to mention probably some part of you is still processing the grief of the soccer career that
wasn't. On top of like my personal feel, like when I was rewatching these episodes, and I know what I'm drawing on to prepare to make these circumstances personal. I was 20, 21 I had never thought about some of the things that had happened in my life that I was now drawing on to understand these circumstances. And so these circumstances were like hyper personal to me at a time when I had no concept for how to process emotions at all, let alone live in the pool you have to live in to be able to deliver, to make the circumstances real to you, to personalize them. So it was like deeply, deeply personal to me.
And did that come at a cost?
I mean, yeah, like the cost was I didn't get to know anybody. I was in a booth of isolation of just like, it was exhausting work. Like I had to develop a technique for how to maintain that level of adrenaline, that level of vigilance, and just like, I look back at it, I'm like, oh, I felt so bad. Watching LJ, I was like, I feel so bad for, this is hardcore for, he was 15, 16. Like you just learned to, you're riding a bike in the episode to deal drugs. Like, oh my God. And now he's literally at the heart of a government conspiracy is in a linchpin.
Yep. And on trial for capital murder.
Like watching his family get murdered and then being blamed. Oh my God. Kellerman was so, by the way, hats off to you. You were such a good, like you were so, I was watching you and I was just like, you had this amazing mix of casual indifference with like hardcore, like persistence to be excellent at your job, that like you were able to find humor and, but like, so like this whole vibe of like, I hate you, but I love you. Like you're astonishingly good at your job, which made you confoundingly evil, but likable at the same time.
Okay. It was fun.
And I was just like,
depraved indifference.
Yeah. And you would, at the time, like, I didn't have any perspective of this because, like you said, we're all in our own silo. So I'm watching back and I'm like, oh, what a choice there. You know what I mean? Or like, so hats off to you on that.
Thank you. I felt like that all came from, I'd never gotten to play a part like that before where it felt like, oh, this guy wins almost every conflict. And
yes,
he knows he's going to win. He knows he has the upper hand in every conflict, both physically usually, but also he knows something you don't know about. They've already tapped into your phone or they know where you're going or whatever it is. So there's a supreme, I wanted to bring like the full force of the United States military industrial complex to bear on everything that the guy did. You know what I mean? There's a kind of like overwhelming... Yeah. I always wanted it to feel like Lincoln Burrows is not a big deal.
Wow.
Like I've done way harder things than this.
Yes. Well, and then as it gets progressively more difficult, you get flustered, but like...
Right.
Yeah.
But it's more like, I wanted it to feel more like a pain in the ass than, not to lower the stakes. Stakes couldn't be higher, but it was just one thing he had to do every day.
No, you did the Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
Oh.
When he's like, I didn't kill my wife. And Tommy Jones is like, I don't care. Like, which ratchets that up so much more. Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, Kellerman did have that mentality, which is, this is my assignment. It's not passing judgment or knowing the facts of this thing. That is not my purview. I am a tool.
Wow.
And what was cool about...
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, what was cool about you two together, actually, was exactly that mix. Is that in the scenes where you guys appeared together, and even the scenes where you were sort of implicating one another, even if you weren't on camera together, Paul is so detached and calm and methodical. And LJ is such a hot mess. And what's beautiful about it is that contrast makes things feel very real. But also, a lot of people in this show are pretty calm, right? Like a lot of the guys in prison are trying to maintain a certain level of focus. And what gives the whole thing, what underpins the whole thing is there's this kid who's losing his mind. And so it actually becomes like kind of the center of the storm in a way that gives everything the stakes. Because in some ways, I think LJ is having the reaction that everyone in the audience is like, dude, yes, yes, it's that fucking crazy. It's nuts. It's gah. But everybody else being calm, there's something about the work that the way that you played the character that we care about Lincoln because he's trying to protect this very vulnerable kid who's falling apart.
Oh, man. Wow.
So what did you do with it at the end of the day? So you do your work, you get to set.
Yeah.
And then...
Gosh. I mean, I think there's a catharsis of like, oh, I just did... I paid homage to the stakes of that circumstance, and now it's imaginary. Like, yes, I understand, like, because I'll take my things from my life that help me understand, like, the ballpark that this is in, but then I'm always required to, like, turn the stakes up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you find the personal approach to it so that you can understand all the feelings you're going through and make it very real to you, but then you have to ratchet it up. And so that's usually the adrenaline level. So when I'm done, the hard part is when you have multiple days in a row where you have to keep that adrenaline, you know, so you have to totally decompress, but you can't like drink alcohol because you got to like be hydrated for the next day because they're wanting tears. And if you're dehydrated, you literally have no tear. Like I ran out of tears on the show. So they probably used a lot of takes where they ran out of tears, you know? And so I developed a protocol of like, oh, well, I have to stay hydrated. I have to get rest. I have to do these things so that I can ramp it all up and then take it all down. But the lasting effect for me was getting to like know how I feel about my parents. Like that's the beauty of getting to go to an emotional place. Softens my heart and like opens me up to be more loving or to be forgiving or to understand things from a different perspective. And like, it just made me feel like a complete human who was in touch with how they felt about things and that you go through hurts and it's okay. Like you're gonna survive, you know, you like learn how to, inadvertently be like a pretty healthy emotional processor. So
that's that's something I don't think we talk about enough. I think if we choose to, we can be taught by the characters that we play and we can be taught by the stories that we tell and they can bring things into our lives that maybe aren't there otherwise.
1,000,000%. Like if I always say like acting is an act of compassion. Like if I don't understand my character's side, if I don't, if I'm not their advocate, then like, who's gonna, why am I playing the character? Like, am I going to bring any humanity? Cause the thing that you're amazed by is like, we watch these shows and you start to feel for people you would never feel for in real life. Cause unfortunately you'd probably have to have boundaries with them. You're like, oh, I don't know if I want this person on my life. You know what I mean? Like, the risk of you going off the handle is extremely high. But
totally.
I mean, that's like the highest form of our art is in film. You get to like vicariously spend time with people who is too dangerous in real life. And then it hopefully teaches you about how you can process and feel things from a distance and be a voyeur and feel certain ways. And the great art is the one that makes us walk a mile in someone's shoes that we would never have done, you know? So approaching life that way is like, I don't know, it's sort of fundamentally learning to act fundamentally shifted how I understand people and deal with people.
And then in the middle of all this, the job becoming very successful, you being siloed in this world, figuring out acting. In the middle of all this, if memory serves, you threw yourself out of a plane. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, actually, I thought you were speaking metaphorically, but yes, literally.
No, literally.
You literally threw yourself out of a plane, right?
We've been talking about this story a lot, and we want to get it right, because We all found out about it at the Golden Globes drinks, right? Or was it People's Choice Awards drinks, Sarah?
I think it was Golden Globes. We all got a nomination at the
and we got together at Hard Rock Cafe or something. Sarah.
Yeah. It was the House of Blues.
House of Blues, sorry.
Yes. And Marshall shows up and we're like, hey, dude, congratulations. And you're like, thanks, I got married.
Engaged, yes.
Engaged. Okay, so talk us through this.
Okay, so obviously I'm smitten with Jamie and we're dating and I had tricked her that I had to stay back and do like ADR for prison break in Chicago and that I wasn't going to make it home for Thanksgiving. But all the meanwhile, I had planned with her family like that I wanted to propose to her by skydiving out of a plane. Because she would always say,
this is so crazy.
I wasn't an actor, then I would be a skydive instructor. That's what Jamie always said.
About herself?
Yeah. She had been a bunch of times. She didn't have her license or anything. But like, that's one of the things she took me to do. Like, it wasn't like I was pushing this on her. This is like coming from what she liked, you know? Because when you engage with someone, like, you want it to mean something to her, not to you, you know?
In theory.
Yes. I call her family. Obviously, I ask their blessing. Like, hey, I want to marry your daughter. Are you guys cool with that?
And you're 20.
I'm 20.
20, 21. Like, you guys are young.
Yeah. And they were like, yes. And I was like, okay, great. So I need you to, I'm coming back for Thanksgiving. I need you to inadvertently schedule a camping trip in Paris, California, where there's like, it's a really popular skydiving place. Like, where skydivers train and stuff. So I was like, if we go camping near there and that's going to be the family Thanksgiving, then it makes sense to be like, I'm going to come back into town, surprise her totally, and then be like, okay, well, I'm here for Thanksgiving. What are we doing? And they're going to be like, we're going to Paris to go camping.
Right.
Oh, and then literally the conversation went like this. Oh, we're going. Oh, that's cool. That's where we skydived. That's where he took me skydiving for the first time. She goes, yeah. And I'm like, what? Why don't we go skydiving? Like, let's do it. And she's going to say, yeah, let's do it. And the family's going to be like, yeah, that's so cool. What she doesn't know is I have, like, friends making a 20 by 40 foot sign out of canvas, like, sewn together. And they hand painted, like, will you marry me? So we go there, you know, and they're like, they have the skydiver people film you and stuff. So I'm getting to do, like, little asides that she doesn't know into my camera of, like, you know.
Yay.
And the whole bit, you know, but I don't know, getting into the plane, I don't know that the sign's finished because they can't bring it in and I can't be talking with them. So I had to be like, it needs to be here at this time.
Totally.
And so I remember we're up in the plane and at like 20,000 feet or whatever they do, really ridiculously high. And I look out the window and I can see the sign. And it's like,
where's the ring,
square.
By the way?
It's
the
in
ring
my
in your pocket.
Pocket. Yes, it is in my pocket.
Okay.
And so I remember being like, oh, yeah, they got the sign. You know, like it's there.
Now all you have to do is jump 20,000 feet out of it.
And I've got to go first and get down there so I can be ready. And so we literally had a camera on her skydiving down. And you could see the point where she read the sign and her legs start like kicking, you know, because it's a tandem.
Oh, my God.
And she lands and then I run over and hug her and take a knee and pull the ring out.
Oh.
And she knelt like with me and I was like, no, like I kneel, you don't kneel. He's like, it was hilarious.
That's very sweet. You really did Michael Scofield this thing. You're like, I have a 90-point plan and it involves 100,000 people and like.
Oh, 100%.
I've wanted to know the details of this story for a long time and it's actually way better than I even imagined. And my expectation was high. Speaking of questions for Marshall, we have some fan questions for him, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll get to those when we get back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, you're back.
Fans had a lot of questions for you. We're going to get through some, but I'm just going to start off with this one because it's simple and I'm really curious about it. An account called @SarahOwnsMyHeart asked, very sweet. Describe your character in 3 words.
Young, overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and deeply passionate.
Good
Beautiful.
One.
Beautiful.
All right, here's one I like. @FaithNamanSeeker. FaithNamanSeeker. @FaithNumanSeeker asks this simple question for you, Marshall. Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo?
You know what? That has always flip-flopped for me.
Okay. Where are you right now?
Am I right now? Obviously, with Messi in the United States, it's so cool to see the country at large understanding just how phenomenal he is. I mean, if Cristiano had come to the MLS too, we'd be doing the same thing for Cristiano because they're both so phenomenal. Kind of like it's so amazing that we've gotten to have these two incredible athletes not only at Real Madrid and Barcelona, but going head to head there. But it'll probably come out that they both spurred each other on to be the best that they could be. But yeah, right now, if I had to choose, it's 100% Messi. I mean, the guy just won the World Cup. So yeah, right now it's definitely Messi, but that is no knock to Ronaldo. He's phenomenal as well, too.
Okay, so I have another question for you, but this is something that I just wanted you to know because somebody @SarahLWood said, I named my daughter LJ because of this character.
Wow.
My gosh. Wow.
I thought the nickname was so cute. I just wanted you to know that that was out there in the world because that's pretty amazing.
That's so incredible to hear because you always I look and I go obviously, I have a deep well of compassion for LJ, but I don't always know that everyone else does. And I'm am I just the annoying, emotional guy that's going through all these crazy circumstances? And, I felt like I was always being duct taped or whatever. So I have these insecurities. Yep. So it's amazing to hear that people understood his plight. And to the point of naming your kid after LJ
is incredible.
That's an honor.
I'm curious about this one. So this is Jarrett with a bunch of underscores. Did you form a personal bond with Dominic acting together outside of Prison Break? I mean, you guys came from such different worlds of experience, of life.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think we did. I have I have like a deep spot in my heart for him. I don't think we've like seen each other in so long, but I know I would be very excited to see him and catch up. And so, yes. And at the time I felt very connected to him, because obviously I'm like projecting all my love onto him. Like,
felt on-screen like, bond, your on-screen bond is really special. It really reads.
Well, shall I do our call-in question of the week, Paul? So we do a call-in question every week, Marshall, these episodes. I think this started with last episode, the last one that aired that you heard. So we have a call-in line where people can leave us a message. And our question this week is, name some random inmates, by which I mean, so far we have D-Cups, Avocado, Red Bull, Cherry. Give us a great name and a three-line bio for your fictional Fox River inmate. The number to call is 401-3-P-B-R-E-A-K.
That's 401-3-P-BREAK.
Yep.
Marshall Allman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
The fishes, folks, and friends out there, thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our Watch Party apps on the Patreon link on the show page wherever you're listening right now. And now, Marshall, we have two final questions for you that we always wrap up our show when we have a guest. The first is, if you're on death row, what would your last meal be?
Probably tacos. I just got to go. I got to go try it true.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Tacos.
Very Austin response. I like
that. And then the last one is a fill in the blank. Don't get sent to prison. But if you do get sent to prison, remember to
punch someone immediately.
There you go. Establish dominance. Establish dominance. There you go.
Going back to our roots.
All right.
Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production. Your hosts have been friends, but not besties, Sarah Wayne Callies and Paul Edelstein. Our prison warden has been producer Ben Haber. Our head of Jailhouse Rock is Paul Edelstein, who made the music for this podcast. Keeping us slim and trim, the prison yard, has been sound designer and editor, the great Jeff Schmidt. Keeping us up to date on the outside world is production assistant Drew Austin. Our prison artist, logo, and brand designer is John Nunziato and Little Big Brands. Check them out at www.littlebigbrands.com. Follow us on Instagram at Prison Break Podcast. Email us at prisonbreaking@caliber-studio.com and call us at 401-3-P-B-R-E-A-K. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul has been a Caliber Studio production. Thank you for listening.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.